Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge von Beste Zeit, dem Podcast zum Auslandsstudium von und mit College Contact. Ich bin Alexandra Michel.
Und ich bin Elias Merkel.
Und gemeinsam sind wir die Gastgeber dieses Podcasts, mit dem wir euer Fernweh wecken und euch ermutigen wollen, eure ganz eigene beste Zeit zu erleben. Sei es im Rahmen eines Auslandssemesters, einer Summer School oder auch eines kompletten Studiums im Ausland. In der heutigen Folge dreht sich alles um das sogenannte Academic Gap Year. Elias, magst du vielleicht mal kurz erklären, was es damit auf sich hat?
Klar, gern. Beim Academic Gap Year handelt es sich um eine Art Schnupperstudium im Ausland, das ihr im Zeitraum zwischen eurem Abitur und eurem geplanten Studienbeginn in Deutschland absolvieren könnt. Ihr könnt dabei in ganz unterschiedliche Fachbereiche hineinschnuppern, ohne euch im Vorfeld festlegen zu müssen. Dadurch ist das Programm besonders dann eine tolle Option für euch, wenn ihr noch nicht genau wisst, was ihr studieren möchtet oder wenn ihr eure geplante Studienwahl einfach nochmal überprüfen möchtet.
Genau. Ein solches Academic Gap Year ist an vielen unserer Partnerhochschulen in Europa, in Nordamerika, in Ozeanien und sogar in Asien möglich. Besonders beliebt ist dabei das Gap Year Programm des Green River College in der Nähe von Seattle im Nordwesten der USA. Aus diesem Grund haben wir uns für diese Folge mit Martha Koch getroffen, die als Manager of International Student Activities am Green River College arbeitet und uns mehr über ihre Hochschule und das dortige Gap Year Programm erzählt hat.
Also bleibt dran! Hi, Martha. Welcome to our podcast.
Hi there.
We're really excited to have you on today, so let's dive right in. We're going to talk about Green River College today. And Green River is a community college. For those who don't know, could you start off by explaining what a community college is and perhaps say how community colleges fit into the larger context of U.S. higher education?
Absolutely. So Green River actually is now called Green River College. We're no longer called a community college, but what a community college is it focuses on the first 2 years of the American university system, all of your general required classes, such as English, mathematics, science, art, physical education, all these basic classes that no matter what school you go to, you have to take. So you could go to Harvard and take English 100 in a class of 500 people for a couple of $1,000s, or American students more and more deciding to go to a community college like Green River and take English 100 in a class of 25 for just a couple hundred dollars. So a community college, they were made to make college and university studying more accessible to the average American. And what it does is it's great for a student who maybe isn't quite ready to leave home and go to a big city and a big university. Maybe they want to save money and live at home. And many times it's also for students who know they want to go to university, but they don't know what they want to study. So instead of going to a university and paying university prices, they decide to stay local. Go to a community college, and they can take all of the same required classes for less money, smaller classes, but they can also take a sampling of classes.
Great. And so I understand what you were talking about are the so-called transfer degrees, where students complete the first 2 years of college at a community college, and then they transfer to a four-year college or university and continue in their third year so they can still finish the bachelor's degree in 4 years, just as if they had started at a four-year college or university. But then in addition, I understand that community colleges serve another purpose in that they also offer a lot of vocational programs and upskilling programs and professional programs. Can you talk just briefly about that as well, because I think it's very different to the German system where we have what we call the duale Berufsausbildung, where people go to vocational school and then at the same time they do an apprenticeship at a company or organization. And I think that's something that the community college system does in the US as well, right?
Absolutely. So you're right. We have, in addition to all the very general university requirements that every college and university in the United States requires, we offer all of those, of course. But in addition to that, thank you, the community college also offers vocational. So all the different community colleges have different specialties. And so Green River offers automotive technology. We offer carpentry, welding.
So let's talk a little bit about Green River College itself. Green River is located in Auburn. And I must admit that I had never heard of the city before I started working for College Contact. So where is Auburn and what's the next major city maybe?
Yes. Well, first of all, most importantly, Auburn is my hometown.
Shame on me.
I know. No, Auburn is actually located pretty much in the middle between Seattle, which is the largest city in Washington State, and Tacoma, which is the third largest city. So we're on we call it the I-5 corridor. It runs north and south. So halfway between those two big cities is Auburn. So if you're driving a car, you can get to Seattle in about half hour, 45 minutes, depending on traffic. And it's the same for Tacoma.
Okay, so it's almost like a suburb.
Actually, a bit American, in Americans' understanding, it is a suburb.
Okay. All right. And I think Seattle, I know Seattle, and I think most of our listeners will know Seattle. Yeah. Ilias, yeah. You might know Seattle.
Heard of it. Perhaps for those who haven't heard of it, so Auburn is also located in the Pacific Northwest. How would you compare this area to the rest of the U.S.?
Well, locals, we like to call it the PNW, Pacific Northwest. We often will joke that we're the other Washington, the clean one, the green one, on the coast. Washington is very much West Coast. It's very relaxed, very laid back. Many times people would say it's very liberal, but it's a good mix of people. I think when international students come, they're surprised that all the Americans look like everybody. So what I mean is we have a history of having a lot of Asian Americans in the area. We have a Native American reservation in Auburn, the Muckleshoot Reservation. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of Hispanic, Mexican Americans. So it's a mix of people. And so when international students come to campus, they fit right in. No one's going to look at them and know you're not mm-hmm. from here, because it's such a mix of people in Washington State, in the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm. And I think Seattle is also very, very close to the Canadian border, right? So for students who would be keen maybe to go to Vancouver, that would be kind of a relatively short drive. Or I think there's a ferry also going over to Vancouver Island, right?
Yep, absolutely. Really close. You can take a ferry, the Victoria Clipper, and you can get to Canada. I've taken students on that trip so many times. And we see whales, and I can't remember how long it takes. It's like an hour from downtown Seattle to Victoria. And you can also drive, I think it's about a 3-hour drive to the border to go to Vancouver. So it's, for an American understanding, it's pretty close.
I think that's fantastic, because I think for students who might be a little undecided of whether they want to go to the US or Canada, then Green River College might be a really good fit, because they can have the best of both worlds. They have Seattle close by, they have Vancouver close by. And if it's easy to kind of just cross the border and go to Vancouver, I think that's really cool.
So no lack of travel destinations, it seems.
No, there's plenty.
All right. But let's go back to Auburn and the campus at Green River College. Can you describe what the campus is like?
Let's put it this way. It's like working in the forest. So the Green River has got like 180 acres, and the campus is always, it's important to keep all of our trees. So we have lots of trees on campus. Sometimes students, when they first come to campus, they're like, oh, I can't find my way around. Can you cut down some of the trees? And we're like, no, you need to read a map. Look, here's the map, read the map, you'll be fine. But we do have lots of trees and flowers and grassy areas. We actually have our own forest on campus with lots of trails because we offer, we offer forestry classes. And for the people in forestry classes, when they first start, they just go out to campus to the forest and learn to do forestry. One tip, students don't believe me until they've been at the college for a few days. Don't feed the squirrels. Just don't. Because you will see these crazy squirrels running around with half a French fry hanging out of their mouth. Or they will stare you down. If you're holding your lunch outside, they will come up and look at you like to intimidate you, to give them it's like, you're a squirrel. Chill.
And those are the big North American squirrels, right? Because, you know, here in Germany, you have these cute little kind of fox red squirrels that are cute and nice, and you can feed them when they come to your balcony. But I know in North America, and I've seen them in parks in New York City. I've seen them on other university campuses. They're huge. They look like squirrels on steroids.
Well, the funny thing is.
And they will chase you.
Yeah, they will.
I don't want to scare anyone, but it's like they're quite something, right?
Yeah, and the thing is, we have those squirrels that you mentioned, Alex. We have the cute little ones. Those are the native ones to the Pacific Northwest, the small ones. But I'm telling you, I think these big gray ones are not native to North America. I think they came over from England. So we're gonna blame the Brits. I don't know, but yeah, they're bruisers.
Oh,
yeah,
awesome.
They'll jump out of garbage cans because they're going for the food. Okay. I've seen them run up the pant leg of a student. I mean, the student was laughing because it was crazy, but it was like, you're a squirrel. You're supposed to be scared of me. And they're like, give me your French fry.
So it's not just a matter of not feeding them. It's a matter of protecting your own food, I guess.
Yeah. And I think they're probably the fattest squirrels in Washington. And I think they have heart disease because they eat nothing but French fries and chips and hamburgers. So
yeah, we got to put them on a diet.
Yeah.
They're a little crazy. Like the seagulls. It's a little like the seagulls in my hometown. It's like, don't feed them and cover your food if you're kind of walking outside and eating your French fries or your sandwich or something. It's funny though, because I was going to ask you if you have any animals on campus, given that you are kind of out in the forest. I was thinking more of deer or bears, but do you have anything besides squirrels and
we do
birds?
Early in the morning, or usually it's early in the morning if I'm on campus, you can see deer. But they only appear early in the morning because they know students are coming. And once in a great while.
And squirrels are coming.
Squirrels are coming. But once in a great while, we'll have, like, they'll see, like, lynxes, like a small wild cat or a bear in the forest. And they'll just, once in a while, they'll send out, hey guys, you know, if you're going out to the forest, go in pairs and make noise. Just because the animals don't want to hurt you, but they need to hear that you're coming so they can leave. But that doesn't happen very often and it's never been a problem. So,
okay. Yeah. So you mentioned forestry already as one of the subject areas that you have that I think are probably pretty unique that you wouldn't find at kind of every community college or university. What other unique subject areas do you offer? I believe we had a student with you once who took aviation classes because he was interested in becoming a pilot at some point, which I think he's on his way to now.
Oh, actually,
anything else that's fun?
He is, yeah, that student is a pilot out of Switzerland now. Let's see, you can take aviation. And what that student in particular did, he knew he was interested in aviation, but he also wanted to come to the U.S. So he took certificate classes for aviation, weather, and these different certificates. So he finished when he was a GAP student. We also have two radio stations. So if you want to get some kind of training in being a DJ, you can join the radio stations. And the great thing is for people in the United States, the terrible time to be assigned DJ work is the middle of the night. But it's perfect for our European students because then they can tell their friends at home, hey, I'm going to be live on the radio, and it streams over the internet. So, you know, they might be working at midnight, 1 o'clock in Washington, but it's afternoon in Germany, so their friends can listen. We also have criminal justice, so you can take forensics classes. Now, you have to remember, it is very much focused on the American criminal system, but the forensics classes and things like that can transfer. We also have journalism classes. We have a newspaper on campus. It's a print paper, but it also is online to, you know, move with the times. So we have all those really great things. And this is what a lot of international students will try because they can, because it's different. And these programs are very welcoming to international students because they want the international student perspective and the flavor in the class. And it's just a lot of fun.
So you mentioned a couple of times that students are welcome to try out different subject areas and depending on what they're into. And that's a great segue, I think, into my next question, because as you know, in today's podcast episode, we would like to focus on one specific program that you offer to international students, the so-called gap year program. And I think this gap year program offers exactly that opportunity for students to kind of pick and choose courses from different subject areas. Can you briefly describe what this program is all about?
Yeah. So the gap program is designed for the students to try out things, like I've mentioned a couple of times, things that maybe they don't have access to in their home country, or things that they thought they couldn't do at home. So they can say, you know, I really want to try criminal justice. I want to take a forensics class because I watched, Law and Order and I want to see it. So it's a chance for them to get in there and understand a little bit, get behind the scenes. And then if they like it, terrific. Maybe that's what they want to study. But if they don't like it, they now know, it was fun to watch it on TV, but I don't want to do this in real life. The only condition is they have to have a strong enough English so they can be in class with Americans. But once we know that, they can take those classes. And there's no prerequisite other than you have to speak English well. And you can tell your advisor, gosh, I really would like to try. I want to do this art class. I want to do ceramics. I've never done it before. No problem. Your advisor, especially the first time, you're the first quarter year at Green River, your advisor will register you for your first quarter. And after that, the student does it themselves. But you can tell our team, I really want to take art. I really want to take criminal justice. Or gosh, I'd like to try aviation. And we can do that because we offer introductory classes in all the things that we do. And for a typical gap student, they're looking for those introductory classes. And they just try it, just like the American students do. Try it. Oh, I don't like this. Or, wow, this is really great. I want to keep taking these classes. And maybe they decide that's what I want to study. Or importantly, they know that is not what I want to study.
Yeah, but we experience it a lot with high school students, for example, that we talk to that, yeah, a lot of them are undecided as to what they want to study. So, I personally think it's a great option to sort of test out the waters and see what you like and what you can see yourself studying for a couple of years. But I also want to ask who can apply for a gap year at Green River? Do you have to be a certain age? Do you have to, for example, have finished high school in Germany and have the Abitur?
That's a good question. I get that question a lot too. So students, the only prerequisite, the thing that they must do before they come to Green River, they must turn 16. They have to be 16. They do not have to finish gymnasium. They do not have to have Abi. And what's really cool, and I really want German students to understand, you don't even have to go to gymnasium. You can be a Realschule student and you can still have your American experience by coming to Green River. You don't even have to have incredibly high marks in English, because students, sometimes German students come to us Their spoken English is terrific. Their grammar and writing, not terrific, but that's fine. We put them in classes to improve their reading and their writing and their speaking. They also will take classes in public presentation. So the important thing to know is you have to be willing to try something new. You have to be 16, but you can be a Realschule student, a gymnasium student, anything like that. So don't feel that because you're not on the university track in Germany that you're excluded from the American system, because you're not.
And I think that's where a community college is definitely a better place to start also for a student coming from Realschule, because you have that kind of extra support. You have a lot of the vocational programs as well. So there is a big mix of classes and subject areas that students can choose from. So I think that's fantastic. And I also think that it's less common for students coming from Realschule to go abroad and to study abroad for a year. And to be able to have that opportunity at a U.S. college and then come back to Germany and see if maybe they want to pursue their high school and take the Abitur later on, or if they want to start vocational training in Germany. I think it's a great, great time for them to really find out what they want to do. And the same, of course, for someone who's just finished the Abitur is to just take this year to as you say, try out different things. If you're undecided, you can take a few courses from one area, a few courses from another, and just find out if the subject matter is of interest to you, if the way you kind of work and study is something for you. If, for example, lab work is something for you, if you're more interested in discussing, I don't know, philosophies and legal topics, things like that. So I think that's where kind of the gap year can be almost like an experiment without risks and consequences, because of course you want to do well, but the grades that you get within your academic gap year are not going to count towards your degree later on. So you can just also choose a subject that maybe you're not so good at, or a subject that you realize is not kind of a perfect fit for you, and it's not going to affect your grades later on.
Absolutely. We've had students come. Again, they just want to try stuff out. And I think just by luck, they got put into a journalism class. And this student loved it. He went on to take more journalism classes. He went home, studied it more. And he decided that's what he wanted to do. And it was just a fluke. He tried it out and realized he loved journalism.
Right. But given that Green River offers such a wide range of subject areas, how do you help students navigate the course offerings and build the perfect schedule for them? You already mentioned the academic advisor that the students can speak to before. Can you maybe walk us through the process? Let's say we have a student who wants to come to Green River this fall for a gap semester or gap year. How would you go about finding the best courses for him or her?
Yeah. The very first thing that we need to do is establish the student's level of English. And so every student, international or American, every one of them take the exact two assessments. They're exactly the same. So it's no different than an American student. And one is an English assessment and one is a math assessment. They're called assessments because you cannot fail them. They just tell your advisor what level you can be challenged at, but you can be successful at. The reason this is important is because many of the classes require that you speak English well, unless you're in the intensive English program. And if you're interested in doing things like the forensics class or science, you have to have a certain level of math. So that's easy. Everybody does it. Your advisor will then see what level you're at. And the very first quarter, like I said, if a student contacts me and says, Martha, I really want to try out aviation. I really want aviation. Then I can tell that to the advisor that, hey, this is what the student wants. Can you try and put them in an aviation class the first quarter? So when you're at Green River, you have usually take three classes a quarter. That's a full load. So your advisor, when we have that information, will look to see, they will do their best to put you into an aviation class. But no matter what they put you in, it's all academic classes and they count towards your plan. So the advisor, like I said, will help put you in the class the first quarter. And then the next quarter, you can pick and choose on your own. But your advisor, you can always ask your advisor, this is what I want to do. Is this the right class? Your advisor is always there to assist you. So we just have to establish what level of English, what level of mathematics, and then depending on your scores, those classes are all open to you. You just have to sign up for them. Does that help? Because we do have plans. We have written plans. If a student wants to do aviation, well, here's a general plan. Take these classes. Or a student can just, because of their gap, they can take whatever classes they qualify for, and it doesn't matter because they're just testing it out.
So, yeah, I think it sounds very good that students have a lot of assistance with registering in the first quarter. And once you get the hang of it, you can register yourself in the second quarter.
Absolutely.
But speaking of the second quarter, you have actually a really interesting option for students who get itchy feet quickly and yes. Perhaps would like to experience more than just one part of the U.S. during their gap year. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Absolutely. The cool thing is about Green River, you come and you land at Green River. You land with us. We help you get into classes. And then students can tell us before they come or in September or October, gosh, I would really like to transfer, meaning to change schools, which is completely a normal thing in the United States. And so they have three options. They can go to Kapiolani College in Hawaii, because, you know, that's paradise. And they can also choose to go to Santa Barbara College in California, which is on the beach. Or they can transfer, go with a Green River instructor and Green River students to Australia, New Zealand. So the students finish the first quarter at Green River. They finish in mid-December. And for California and Hawaii, they will then move over the Christmas holiday to their new school. And they will start, I believe it's like the first week of January. They start and they go through May. And then typically students go home after that. They don't come back to Green River.
And what is the other option?
The other option, which I think is really kind of cool, is they can sign up to go to Australia, New Zealand. It's the same process. Just tell us what you want. You just have to communicate with us. We will help you do the application. And then you'll go as a group from Green River. You'll go with other students and a Green River instructor who's been doing this for like 20 years. So he knows the whole thing. You travel together as a group to Australia. You take classes as a group. And they're classes that transfer back to Green River, their official classes, and then you move to New Zealand again with your group taking official classes. And I think they have like a week or two in both countries to just travel and have fun. And the nice thing is you're with a group of Green River students, so you're not on your own to travel. You make friends within that group, and it's typically just American students. It's very few international students that go on the Australia, New Zealand, which is great because for the international students, specifically German students, are very interested in, you know, just meeting Americans, being American, and it's a great thing. Well, then you leave for Australia, New Zealand in January, and you come back at the end of March. And if students want, they just come back to Green River and they can take another quarter and finish at Green River in June. And the nice thing is they're coming back to Green River with the Green River students they made friends with in Australia, and they're just taking Green River classes. So they're back with their friends and then they go home from Auburn.
That's a really, really cool option. And I must admit, while you were talking about the three different options, I was trying to kind of establish a decision in my mind as to where I would have gone and what I would have done. And I think it's really hard. I think all three options sound really appealing. But I must admit that the one you just mentioned, the Australian New Zealand option, I especially like that one because students can, as you say, come back and then complete their gap year. Mm-hmm. in Auburn. So it's kind of like an exchange semester that they will take along with other American students that they've met before, they've all kind of prepared for before. And I think that's a really, really cool option. So I think that would be the one I probably would choose if I were in that position. I don't know, Elias, what would be your...
good question. I wouldn't be I wouldn't be able to decide either. Yeah, would probably flip a coin, which works really well when you have three options. But
let's see, paradise or down under.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I think. I don't know. I can't decide. It's too hard. Yeah. I'd go.
But yeah, as you heard from Martha, you don't have to decide right now.
Right. Exactly. you can still make up your mind. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Students do panic. They were like, "How do I tell you? When do I tell you? Whenever you want, just not the day before."
Yeah.
So good. Another very important topic that students always ask us about, do you offer any scholarships that prospective gap year students can apply for?
Yeah, we do. We have, you know, scholarships if they show us, if we see their high school grades and they've done really well, we could give them, we call them merit scholarships. But it's important to know, it's not that it's going to come to you as cash. It's going to reduce your tuition. So it reduces your tuition by $500 or more. So yeah, we have those. And one thing that I like to do that I did with your student, who's now the pilot in Switzerland, he came and he applied to work for me. And he came in and what he did was he worked with this student events team and he just helped them put on trips and parties. And sadly, you know, if you're planning the trips and parties, you have to go on the trips or the parties and you get paid so to annoying. Be there. It's terrible. Yeah. But they it's a campus job and they get, you know, a paycheck every 2 weeks for the time that they worked. And Pascal, your student, was so amazing that I said, you know, let's keep you. So he started working for us in October and he worked for us until he finished his gap year in June. So planning Halloween parties and things like that, ski trips.
He actually even came along to a couple of fairs on your behalf. I don't know if you remember, he attended a couple of fairs and he was an absolute rock star with students, because of course it makes a huge difference if we talk to students or you talk to students or if a student who's done the same program and who's had that experience is talking to students. So yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah, he just messaged me. And so he actually, when he left Green River, he was just such an amazing student that I said, oh, don't pay for a hotel. So he actually stayed with my family in my house for like 2 weeks. My kids love him. They, you know, they thought he was a lot of fun. But that's the thing is it's such a intimate group for the German students that we get to know them really well. And, you know, I'm always on campus to help them out. They would swing by my office, ask questions, or just ask me how I was doing. And just, we've had such wonderful students from Germany. They're very independent, but they're just, yeah, they're wonderful. And we have a good relationship with them.
And I know that you personally have a strong connection to Germany and you even speak German quite well. How come?
Yeah. When I was younger, I started studying German when I was like 12, because that meant I would have to leave the United States to speak it. I didn't want to take Spanish because I could go to Mexico and that was too close to home. So I studied German. I did a year at the Albrecht Ludwig Universität in Freiburg in Breisgau. And then I went back to Germany on a Fulbright scholarship. I went to Leipzig, where I taught English as a Fremdsprachenassistentin in the F.A. Brockhaus Gymnasium in Leipzig. And then I taught English at Berlitz for 3 years because I love Germany and I think Germany is awesome. I love the people. I love the food. Yeah, married a German. Now we have little Germans running around our house that are ours. So yeah, I love Germany, and I just really, really, really respect and like the culture and the people. And so it's really fun.
And I think most German students coming to Green River speak English fairly well. But I think it's nice for them to know that there is someone at Green River that if they ever need kind of to speak to someone in their mother tongue, or if they ever need kind of someone who understands their culture and their background, they can come to you. I think that really helps. And I think that some of our students have actually mentioned that as well in the past, that you always have a kind of special bond with the German students. And
oh, yeah.
Of course, with the kids speaking German and all of that. So,
yeah, absolutely. And I know your students probably don't really care about this, but sometimes we have parents who just have questions. Maybe they don't quite understand the system, and they just want to talk to someone who's here. And that's no problem. I've talked to a couple of parents. And it wasn't that there was a problem. It was simply they wanted to understand better from someone who's here. Hmm. And I don't mind talking to parents. Now that I have children, I get it. It's like, where are you sending me?
Right. Well, I understand that you don't only take care of the German students, but you also take care of their pets when they leave. What's the story behind that?
A few years ago, there was a group of students. They were so great. And they had these goldfish, Manny and Melvin, the goldfish. That was the story. Oh, my word. So they got these fish, they adopted, and they were little tiny goldfish. And they had them in their apartment at the college. And these were their babies. And then they came to me at the end of the year, and one of the young women, Victoria, was kind of upset. She's like, I don't know what we're going to do. The pet store won't take them back. We're not going to flush our goldfish. I said, no. You're not going to flush Manny and Melvin. That would be bad. So we adopted Manny and Melvin like 3 or 4 years ago. And we sadly, Melvin passed away a few months ago. But we had these fish, and then my husband was like, wait a second, you know, we can adopt fish. We'll even take houseplants. Not a problem. But he said, the German students cannot adopt dogs and cats. We will not adopt dogs and cats. I'm like, but they're your countrymen and they have pets. And he's like, no, we'll do fish and we'll do plants, maybe a bird. He's like, but no dogs and cats. I'm like, okay, no dogs and cats. I'll tell the students. But now, thank you to German students, now I have a 10-gallon aquarium downstairs with tetras, mollies. Yeah, we're getting pets, and we never had them before. But the German students, we now have pets.
So it's good to know for future students who might hear this that
freshwater fish, no salt fish, right. Because these are just hard to handle. Freshwater fish.
All right, duly noted.
So let's talk a little bit about types of accommodation. Where can students stay during their gap year at Green River College?
Yeah, that's a good question. Green River offers two housing accommodation choices. The first one, the more traditional one for international students, is host families. We do have over 400 host families. That's a whole lot. Oh, wow. And believe it or not, every host family, their house has been visited or inspected by a Green River team member to make sure they have a private room that's furnished with a bed, a desk, dresser, closet, and a shared bathroom. And they can live there with a family. Sometimes it might just be a mom and a dad whose kids have grown up and they just want more life in the house. Typically, though, for German student or European students in general, host families are not what they typically want. What I find is our European students are much more independently minded. They've had a lot more freedom growing up. So sometimes we'll have more shy, quiet German students or European students, and they'll do fine in a host family because of their personality. But our other option are campus apartments, where it's four students. They each have a private bedroom and they share two bathrooms, a kitchen, and a living room. And that offers a lot more independence, which is typically what our German students are looking for. The only thing is, please talk to your parents and learn to cook and do your laundry before you come. Because, I mean, some of these students, it's like they get like Uber Eats like all the time. Like, how are you not going broke? Put some noodles in some hot water and cook them. You can do this. So I always, when I talk to students before they come, talk to your parents, find out how they make food, or you're going to be hungry. But a lot of times students in the apartments, what I thought is really interesting was actually really cool, is if one of the students can cook, then a group of friends will say, okay, we can't cook, but you can. And the group of friends will buy all the food, and the kid that can cook will cook and eat for free because the other students buy all the food. And then the one kid that can cook will make it for everybody. And I thought it was really cool because then the students are coming together and eating and socializing and eating food that's not from a restaurant all the time. So yeah, the apartments are a lot more freedom, but you have to do your own laundry, cleaning, and cooking. But I lived in a German apartment with 8 roommates. Six were German, the others were Americans. And, you know, I won't lie, it got kind of gross and messy, but we learned and we lived with it and we got better. So the important thing about living in the apartments or a host family is just be flexible. It's not home and your mother doesn't live there. So be open-minded, take out the trash, do the dishes every once in a while if you're living in a host family, and do your own dishes if you live in the apartments.
Right. That's a good, good advice.
Don't wash red clothes with white clothes. It's never good.
Been there,
not at the same time, at least, yeah.
Exactly.
True. And check the pockets of your jeans before you.
Yes.
Eat, right?
Although as a parent, I make money, man. When I get money, I'm like, oh, look, here's some money. I'm taking it.
It's mom's cat. Like whatever you find in the pocket is yours, right?
Yeah, sometimes it's gross, though. It's like, who put candy in their pocket? Nasty.
Okay. All right. So we often hear from students coming back from Green River College that Auburn has become their home away from home or their second home. How do you help gap year students settle in both on campus and in the larger community?
Well, one thing, just for fun, we'll take them on trips and shopping and just being around. But I think the one thing that I believe strongly really helps a student, an international student, settle is we do a lot of volunteering and the students can just sign up to go with us. And when we go to the food bank, for example, that's a really popular volunteering site because they always need help. It allows the international students to see a side of the United States that is not really in movies or TV shows. They realize that in the communities that there are people who need help, food assistance, for example, and they could be all kinds of people. And with the COVID pandemic and things like that, you know, people lose their jobs. So they may have been office people, you know, business people, but whatever reason, they lost their jobs. And so the international students are there working in the food bank, being a part of the solution, being a part of the community, helping the community. So not only are they learning about this aspect of the US, but it's a chance to be joined together in a common goal. And you get to chat with not only the other students that are volunteering, but there's Americans volunteering. And I think some of the coolest things I've heard from volunteering from the Americans there, they'll say, wow, these kids are from another country and they're here helping. They even joke, are they in trouble? No, they're not in trouble. They want to help. And so for the Americans, it's usually retired Americans, so they're older. It really just is good PR because they'll talk to students, where are you from? What are you doing in the United States? And it just really makes them feel that you're a part of this community. You're giving to this community. You're no longer looking in. You're in it, in the middle of it. And if students don't want to volunteer at the food bank, we also volunteer out in nature, you know, restoring trails, pulling weeds or planting trees for environmental projects. And so I strongly believe, having lived in Germany, I never really got to be in the American, or sorry, in the German community. I was always on the outside watching. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important that I offer our international students the opportunity to open the window, come inside, get your hands dirty, and be a part of Auburn. That you too can have a lasting impact. I mean, maybe you're planting trees along the river, or you're getting rid of invasive weeds in a park, but you've left a mark, and this is now your American hometown. that you can come back to and say, you know, I was a part of this. I helped pack Thanksgiving dinners for the community. I helped on the line of giving out the Thanksgiving dinners, or I helped replant native plants in that city park. So I think that's hugely important to make them feel that you've left a mark, you've made a difference, and now you're a part of us and your Gator family and your American hometown.
So Martha, as a recurring segment on our podcast, we like to do a quick question round with our guests where we ask a few fun little questions. And of course, we would like to do this with you as well.
Absolutely. Bring it on, my friend.
Let's do it. Okay, first off, what's your favorite German food?
My favorite German food. Oh, this is terrible. Not terrible. It's hard to say. I really like Buletten and Spätzle.
Ah, nice.
Together or
no, separate. Separate. Sorry.
Wait, they don't go together?
No.
I think they do.
Oh, or Buletten is it just are from me? Berlin and Spätzle are from Schwaben, so I don't know.
I don't know, maybe.
They're good. German food is fabulous.
All right, let's stick with the German theme then. What's the first German word you learned?
You mean in school?
I mean, just in general.
The first German word I learned, not in school, just like in real life, is I was living in Freiburg in Breisgau, listening to the radio, and they kept saying this word over and over and over again at all times of the day.
What could
and it was
that
Stau.
Be?
Stau?
Stau. That was the first word I learned all on my own in Germany.
And stuck That's with a you.
Very handy word.
Yes, it is.
Definitely. All right, let's do one more. What is one thing students should definitely do on campus?
So the one thing that I recommend strongly every student do on campus is walk the trail out to the viewpoint. It doesn't have a special name. You walk out, there's a bench, and you come out to the top of this hill. And from this hill, you can look out and see all the foothills, and you see Mount Rainier right there in front of you. This massive glacier covered mountain. It is, I might be biased, but it's the most beautiful mountain in the world. So I recommend go out there in the morning, midday, evening, because I find that if I'm stressed out or worried about something, I walk through this green tunnel through the forest. I sit on that bench and I look at that magnificent mountain. And I realize whatever I'm struggling with, whatever I'm worried about, it's not that important, because look at the beauty that we're surrounded in. That's what's important, I think. And looking at Mount Rainier, it just puts your life and your problems in perspective. And I know I'll sit out there for 10 or 15 minutes and I'll feel better. I'll feel lightened, and then I'll walk back through the green forest to life. But you're walking through that green tunnel to this magnificent view, and it puts everything back in order, I think.
Wow, that sounds beautiful for sure.
It is stunning.
I think we're done with the quick questions, right, Elias? Mm-hmm. Or do you have, you're done?
Yeah.
So I have one more question that just came to mind. What advice would you give students and parents maybe who are still undecided whether a gap year in the U.S. and more specifically at Green River College is the right choice?
What advice I would give?
Mm-hmm.
Well, for the parents, I would let them know that, you know, everyone in the International Programs Department, they have families, they have kids. And so we understand what a big responsibility it is for us to receive your student. And we understand as a parent what that means. For the student, you know, at no other time in your life you're going to be able to be free enough to explore something. You don't have any commitments. You don't have your own family. So, yeah, it might be scary. It might be stressful, but do it. Take a jump. you'll be surprised at what you can handle, what you can do, and what you find out about yourself and who you really are when you're in an environment where you can be anything you want, no one has any preconceived ideas about you, and you can show yourself that you really are a unique, talented individual, that you can do it. And we want to be a part of your story.
That sounds great. What a great closing statement.
Right. I really don't know what else to say, because as you said, Elias, that was the perfect closing statement. So I think I'll just make it short. Thank you, Martha, so much for getting up early and spending an hour with us talking about Green River College and sharing your experience with German students and German goldfish. And
German goldfish. German and email them. Maybe rest in peace. No, it was my pleasure. I looked forward to this. And yeah, I look forward to many more meetings with you both.
Sounds great. And we look forward to hopefully being able to send you students again very soon.
Yes.
That will be sharing part of their story with you and your team.
Absolutely.
So thanks again, and have a great week ahead.
Thank you so much.
You both stay cool and enjoy your week.
Will do. All right.
You
too. Take care, Martha.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Ich glaube, so ein Academic Gap Year nach dem Abi hätte ich auch gut gebrauchen können.
Ja, wieso?
Ich fand es damals richtig schwierig, mich für ein Studium zu entscheiden, weil mich so viele verschiedene Dinge interessiert haben. Ich glaube, dass so ein Academic Gap Year mir echt dabei geholfen hätte, ein bisschen Abstand zu bekommen, meine Gedanken zu sortieren und vor allem noch ein besseres Bild von den einzelnen Fächern zu kriegen.
Ja, stimmt. Dafür ist ein Academic Gap Year wirklich gut geeignet. Was ich aber auch richtig super finde, ist, dass man im Prinzip zwei Fliegen mit einer Klappe schlägt. Man kann sein Fernweh stillen und gleichzeitig ohne Druck erste Studienerfahrung sammeln. Das ist echt viel wert.
Ja, das finde ich auch. Wenn ihr da draußen jetzt selbst Lust auf ein Academic Gap Year bekommen habt, vielleicht sogar am Green River College, dann schaut doch mal in unsere Shownotes. Dort findet ihr Links zu unserem Ratgebertext zum Academic Gap Year, zum Hochschulprofil des Green River College und zu den Erfahrungsberichten, die wir in den letzten Jahren von ehemaligen Gap-Studierenden erhalten haben.
Außerdem findet ihr in den Shownotes wie immer auch unsere Kontaktdaten. Meldet euch gern bei uns, wenn ihr mehr über die Möglichkeiten eines Academic Gap Years erfahren möchtet. Unsere Beratung und Bewerbungshilfe ist komplett kostenlos, da wir von unseren Partnerhochschulen für unsere Arbeit bezahlt werden.
In der nächsten Folge unseres Podcasts werden wir mit der San Diego State University aus Kalifornien eine weitere sehr beliebte Partnerhochschule zu Gast haben, an der übrigens auch ein Academic Gap Year möglich ist. Am besten abonniert ihr unseren Podcast einfach direkt, damit ihr gleich informiert werdet, wenn die Folge online geht. Für heute sagen wir vielen Dank fürs Zuhören, bis bald und habt eine gute Zeit.